Chamber Radio. I think that we're finally on air, and the live video may have been streaming. We always have a technical issue in here, but we're here, and we're happy to be here, and we're happy to help. And today I'm happy to welcome Sal Levitino yes. of SL Business Solutions, and we met at the Princeton Chamber, I believe, and I wanted you to be on the show for many reasons, but partly because you're a Rotarian.
I am.
And one of my favorite mottos is service above self.
Indeed.
So give us a little bit of your background, business background, and who you are and what you do, and then also your foray into being a Rotarian.
Absolutely. Well, thank you so much for having me, first of all. And my background is primarily the big corporate world for 30 years, doing consulting, internal project management. I was the CFO of a small investment bank at one point, and I needed to make a decision about 10, 11 years ago what I wanted to do with the rest of my career and the rest of my life, and the financial crisis hit and made that decision a little bit more urgent, and looked around at a lot of different business models and thought that business coaching seemed to be the best fit for what I was trying to do, both from a skill set point of view, but also from a passion point of view. I wanted to try and focus on smaller businesses because I thought that was where the need was for sure. And that's what led me into business coaching, and 10 years later, here we are. And so Rotary came along about 8 years ago for me because I was looking for an outlet for service, because many business owners do a lot of networking, a lot of business-related things. But giving back to the community has always been important for me. And for me particularly, it turned out that Rotary is that outlet. So as I said, I joined the Princeton Corridor Rotary Club in Princeton about 8 years ago. And it's been a wonderful experience.
Great. And how did you hear about it? Through a neighbor, a friend, a colleague? How did you hear about Rotary, and what made you join?
Well, interestingly, I had contact with three of the members of that club at the time through different business networking groups, the Chamber. There were a couple of other smaller groups, and they all invited me, saying you should try it out, you should think about Rotary if you're interested in service, and went to a couple of meetings and thought that this crazy group might be the place for me, because we do some interesting projects. We've developed other interesting projects, so it definitely has fulfilled my need for service in the community.
Right, and you jumped in full bore, and you were actually became president, right?
A couple years ago. I'm not the immediate past president anymore, but that's the best title in Rotary, is immediate past president.
I love it. Well, what are some of the favorite? Do you do a run or a pancake breakfast, or what are some of the events that you do as Rotarians that your group does that you really love?
Well, we focus on a lot of hands-on projects, which is really what I love, and we're actually newly focused on trying to end hunger in central New Jersey. So we do many events related to that. In fact, this past Thanksgiving, the meeting before Thanksgiving, we put together, I think it was 23 or 24 baskets for families through Homefront. So all the members come together at a meeting, bring all the groceries that we bought from the list that Homefront gave us, and we pack the laundry baskets full of food with a gift card for the turkey, and then we transport them over to Homefront so that people that may be in need are not feeling it quite so acutely during Thanksgiving.
Yes, I think Suki from Homefront was. Do you know, is that her name? She was. I think someone from Homefront was on the show. I can't remember everybody's name all the time,
yes.
But she was great.
Yep.
And and there's nothing more more at the core and satisfying than feeding people.
That's right. That's absolutely right.
So,
and we also did. We connected with Send Hunger and Packing, an organization local to West Windsor, which is where the club is located, to provide meals for children over the weekends when they don't have availability of the lunches and breakfasts at school. So we packed hundreds of meals at a meeting. We bought all the supplies and packed them up in these nice bags, and they're discreetly put in children's backpacks on Friday afternoon, so they can make sure that they have enough to eat over the weekend.
Yeah, and I think people just don't realize, because you think Somerset County, Hunterdon County, Princeton, you know, it's an area that's known as an affluent area,
yes,
but
yes.
there's the complete other side of the spectrum as
yes,
well.
There's still needs everywhere in the United States. Unfortunately, there are still needs, no matter how affluent the community.
Yeah, and I think that the nice part is that there are so many nonprofits that do so many good things, and that's why I keep telling people you just got to find the one that fits you.
That's right.
Because there's no matter what you want to do, whether you want hands-on, hands-off, donating services, whatever, there's there you can find something to do, whether it's through Volunteer Match or Volunteer Connect or ideal.org. There's so many ways.
If you have the passion, then there is a place somewhere in the nonprofit world for you to engage that passion and help people, whoever they are. That's right. I believe that completely.
Well, and the other point that I try to make is that, and you being in business for yourself, it helps, it feeds your soul, but it also is a better business model, wouldn't you say?
Oh, I think so. I think I'm pretty fortunate. I grew up and we had a good childhood and a good upbringing, and I want to give back. And I think it is good for business. It absolutely is good for business. The more, the better our population is fed, it can only bring good things. That's my view. So that's part of why I do this, because I think it helps in all spheres, in all areas of life.
Right. And we were talking before the show began about how you said you can always really tell when a business is living their values, is serving the values, with how they take care of employees, and how they implement giving back within their corporate culture and their corporate structure.
Well, that's right. That's right. And businesses, even tiny ones, even solopreneurs, there is a culture to that business. It is up to the owner to make it the culture that is what they really want. Too often it happens that they have a culture that was completely unintentional and even inadvertent and potentially not supporting where they're trying to go, but they didn't realize you can be purposeful and take a structured, purposeful approach to creating a culture that really reflects your values. Hopefully they're good values, and that will be reflected in all the things that the company does and all the people they hire and how they handle everything. And it's just such a, and I've worked in both positive cultural environments and negative ones. And the positive one, it's such a better environment to really work and be happy about growing this business.
And more productive, right?
Absolutely.
On so many levels.
I think so.
And we were talking about how the millennials are kind of driving that with the new corporate culture. They demand a give back option and a culture that supports that.
So I think that's a terrific development, and I hope it keeps going. And as a baby boomer talking to the millennials, keep going and keep doing it.
Exactly. Right. All right, we're going to take a quick break and we'll be back.
When it matters most, our award-winning team of emergency physicians and nurses provides sophisticated care 24 hours a day. Superior emergency care at a moment's notice. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com, brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
I'm Andy Ross. I'm chairman of the Ambassadors Committee of the Chamber. As members of the Ambassadors Committee, we contact new and renewing members of the Chamber to get their feedback on their chamber experience and make them feel more at home with the chamber.
Hunterdon Chamber of Commerce, building business, one business at a time.
Good morning. This is Nicole Smith. You're listening to Happy to Help on Hunterdon Chamber Radio, and I think we're on Facebook Live if everything's working. You can look that up at Happy to Help or at Happy Hunterdon. And we've got Sal Levitino today, and his website is tagged, or his Facebook page, business page, is tagged on our intro. And he is the founder, owner of SL Business Solutions. And before the break, we were talking about how important it is to have a give back culture. And Sal does business coaching, conveniently enough. And we're going to talk about how you help people develop that culture, instill that culture, or tweak the culture, yeah. and for them to have a better business model.
Yep. And I think it's important for many reasons. But my work with smaller businesses particularly is about helping them find the value in that, because we tend to get so caught up in, I'll call it, the whirlwind of our businesses. We're all sucked into that vortex, and we're fielding emails and phone calls and employees and customers. And most small business owners never take the time to think through what their values are, what their culture, what they want it to be, and how can it support their long-term goals. So I help them identify that as a potential area where we can work together, because I believe it's so important. That, to me, is the foundation of a strong, good, vibrant business. If the right values are in place, the technical side we can always bolt on. The good marketing, the good selling, that's relatively simple. But having the right values in place and having a culture that reflects those values accurately and it brings it forward in all ways, and by the way, applies to the owner as well, of course, that's a very important point. I think that's so important and such a foundational effort that that's where I usually start if that is lacking or missing in a small business. And in a small business, it can be, because it doesn't seem to be important. Well, wait a minute. I have to make money over here, and I have to do business over here. I have to call this person. When do you take the time to begin to build those essential building blocks? And that's some of what I do, at least initially, with many of my clients.
Right. And don't many people who start their own business, it starts with a passion for something they want to do, or a talent they have or whatever. But then you get so caught up in the day-to-day and it gets busy, and then you lose sight of why you originally started the whole thing. Right?
Well, that's right. And I've run into that many times. Somebody's in business 3 or 4 or 5 years and they're a little bit low on energy. They're a little bit discouraged. And connecting somebody back with why they started this crazy enterprise to begin with can often have enormous positive effects, because they regain some of that passion and they begin to see it. Oh, yes, that's right. I remember those days when I wasn't making any money, but, and I've heard this many times, we weren't making a lot of money, but I was so happy and so passionate and so engaged, and it was so much fun. Well, let's get back to some of that fun. Small business doesn't have to be, oh my God, this is such a burden. It doesn't have to be that way, I promise you. And really, the people that I'm looking to talk to are the people that are sick and tired of being sick and tired.
Yeah.
In a nutshell.
Yeah, and I think, too, it's we talked about this, too, and everyone thinks, oh, it's so great, I'm going to, you know, I don't want to work for anybody, I want to work for myself, and I can do it so much better, and but it's not as easy as all that, right?
No,
And you've seen that probably.
And when you think that you're not working for anybody, but of course you are. You're working for your clients now, and sometimes they can be more difficult bosses than the boss you had back in the corporate world. So you have to be careful about who you want to do business with. And most of small business is about choice. Most people, when they first start a business, they will do business with anybody.
Right.
And that's
fine.
You're trying
to get your game on, yeah.
And after a while, most smarter business owners realize that, well, I can be a little bit more selective, make my life a little bit more positive, a little bit easier, and also run my business more efficiently without having to deal with some negativity. So I strongly urge people to think about making those choices. How do you want to attract the people you really want to work with? Because we all know who they are. We all know their attributes. Take some time to describe them and seek them out and work with them, because it's such a joy to work with somebody who's positive and engaged and supercharged, as opposed to somebody who's really negative. And, you know, we have those choices. That's one of the reasons we go into a business, is we have a choice. We can decide who we want to work with, as opposed to when you're in the corporate world, you don't. So exercise that choice. Don't make it just about the money. I get it. First year, that's everybody's inclination, but grow out of that as quickly as possible.
Right. I just wrote my first article on Medium about choices, so you can check it out.
Good.
But I always think, too, that everyone thinks it'd be so great to start a company, and it would be great to run your own company if you didn't have to deal with customers or employees. Right?
So, that's right.
Because people are still people at the end of the day. And,
that's right.
But you're right, though. If you consciously think about who's my ideal client, and write it down and think about it, it'll come to you, right?
I mean, I encourage people and work with them repeatedly to let's describe that person. And I don't mean, well, they live here or they make this much money. I mean, really describe them. What about them makes them such a good customer or a good vendor or a good whoever? And because if we know that and we were very clear about it, we can identify other people that we're going to be attracted to that are similar to that person and build that positivity, as opposed to just doing business with anybody that walks in the door. Now, if you're in a retail situation, it's a little bit different, but I'm mainly talking about service organizations, professional trades, that you have a choice.
Business to business.
Yes, primarily. Yeah. That's right. That's right. So be purposeful about it. Think about and I agree with you, writing it down is important. Even for people that are used to keyboarding all the time and all their thoughts, the physical act of writing, I think, engages more of your mind and your brain and allows for a little bit more creativity and a little bit more openness in the thought process.
Yeah, and I think I'm not a scientist, but I think it's been proven because my son went off to college this year and he's not a big studier, but I said, make sure you take notes manually with a pen and paper because it's going to help you. And I think, you know, who knows? Grades haven't come in yet, but I think he's doing okay. So.
Well, give it a try.
I know.
Please give it a try.
Well, that's why journaling has taken a resurgence and all that stuff. So have a business journal, a personal journal. Yeah, write it down. And you know, pictures.
Yep.
Right?
Well,
visualization.
Different colors. Pictures, things that stimulate both sides of your brain simultaneously is always better than trying to just do one side or the other. I completely agree. So pictures, colors, doing your dream chart, having visual cues in your office, positive things on the walls, absolutely.
Yes, and so you went from the corporate world to the coaching world or to your own business, and you said the financial crisis kind of helped further that decision. But so how did you choose your coaching company that you went to, and what were some of the growing pains or you went through as you started your own business, leaving the corporate world?
Well, what's interesting is I went through the exact same path that many people who come out of the corporate world and start their business do. I've been at it 10 years, so I've done at least some good things. But the transition from being an employee or having that kind of mindset to being an owner is a completely different thing, and we don't give that enough credit. It's such a transition and gets in so many people's way. And you just have to think differently, but then act differently. And the first thing you have to do is create a structure for yourself to work within. Think about taking a job at a corporation, and basically the box is established for you. You know what you need to do. You know when you need to do it. You pretty much know how you need to do it. You just have to do it. When you're the owner of a small business, you have to create the box. You have to create the structure. You have to create all of those accountabilities and reporting responsibilities and relationships by yourself. And most people find that very difficult, particularly once they've exceeded their own capacity to do everything. Once you've gotten to that point, now what do? Okay, employee, you've gone as far as you can go. Now you have to re-promote yourself back to being an owner. How are you going to do that? Mm-hmm. And that's an interesting and an important early transition point for many businesses when they're on the precipice of hiring that very first employee. It's so scary for everybody because they're afraid to hire the wrong person. They've heard all the horror stories. Oh, my God, I have to pay taxes on. And just do it, but do it properly. Do it in a thoughtful, structured way to go. And that's part of the value I bring, is creating those structures and processes that will allow somebody to identify who's that person, where can I find them, will I know them when I see them if they're the right person, and how will I know them, and then hire them, onboard them, retain them if they're good. And that's a lot of the process that big companies have. They do it all day, every day, because they have to.
Right.
Small businesses don't give that enough. They don't assign enough value to having those kinds of processes. And that's where I help. That's that foundation. Because once you have the foundation, you can build easily on it.
Right. Well, what about using temp services like Robert Half or some of those? Could you get a temp person in there? And then, you know, I don't know what their requirements are, but maybe that's a good way to try people.
You can do some of that. You still need to know and describe to, if Robert Half is the example, you still need to tell them who you're looking for. So you still have to go through the thought process of, who's going to work, who's going to not work, who's going to fit, more importantly? Because there are usually, in my view, if we're talking about hiring, there are three questions. Can they do the job? Will they do the job? And do they fit? Now, the first two are relatively straightforward sometimes. The last one, in a small business, is super critical. Think of a three-person organization and there's one bad hire. A third of your workforce is a negative influence on your business. How important is that? A big company can weather bad hires all the time. They can do what they need to do. But a small company, it sets you back so far. So even if you're using outside resources, which is fine, be aware of who you're looking for, what your culture is, who's going to fit in that culture, who you want to work with, what kind of person, because that's who you need to put forward to a Robert Half, again, if that's the example. So they know who they're looking for. And if they're doing their job right, they'll ask you that because they don't know. They'll, you know, you don't want anybody, do you? Of course not.
Right. No, that makes great sense. And you built your business and through Action Coach, is that what you said?
I started with Action Coach. That's right.
So what
that's
would right. you, would you recommend Action Coach for other people trying to go?
Oh, Action Coach is awesome training. They really have a great way of looking at a business and kind of pulling it apart into its component parts. And that's what a coach should be doing, is getting under the surface of a business. So Action Coach, I thought, was excellent training. That's right. But it's really about getting to what's really going on. What's the crux of the issue? What are the impediments getting in the way of an individual or a business, or if it's a family business, whatever. So it's as much about being a coach is as much about being willing to be honest and asking the questions nobody else is going to ask. Not your employees, certainly, not your co-owners, not anybody, because they're afraid. But a coach needs to be courageous enough to risk making somebody uncomfortable.
Tough love.
That's what it's about. Well, we're called the unreasonable friend for a reason.
Yeah.
Because, as I said, we're willing to take people out of their comfort zone, and that's so important because that's where the growth is.
Yeah, that's true. Are you familiar with Michael Michalowicz and I need sure. Hopefully I'll get him on the show sometime because I've seen him speak and he's amazing,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
You should have him speak at Rotary. Like maybe he'd come to Rotary. Ooh, I don't know. Yeah.
That's a great idea.
I know. I mean, I know he's a busy guy, but
that's
he's
a great idea,
just,
though.
Yeah. He's a really good, he's just so fun. So Michael Michalowicz, he did the toilet paper entrepreneur, pumpkin prophet. Like he's got like 20 books and he's hilarious.
Yeah.
He is hilarious.
Yep.
So, then circling back around to giving back and having part of the culture, do you have, in the different companies you've worked with, do you have any stories of how people were actually already, you know, giving back and or you helped them find a give back opportunity to infuse into their corporate culture?
Yes, and that's what I love about small businesses, because they tend to be charitable. These are working people. They started a business. They work hard at it. They have their ups and their downs, but it's important to them to give back, because we're all in the local community. We're not often it's not commuting to Manhattan necessarily, which is what I certainly did for years and years. It's about having a local impact. So efforts that are local, I think, are more embraced by the local small business community, because it's real. It's right here. If the need is in your community, it's much more impactful for you than if it's off someplace else. Mm-hmm. So I live in West Windsor. So West Windsor is an affluent community, and you wouldn't think there's anybody that needs any help at all, and that's simply not the case. We really need to recognize that there's need everywhere, and in my opinion, the people that have should be willing to put themselves forward to help the people that don't have.
Right, and I do both. I do local, but I'm also so attracted to the global aspect of Room to Read.
Yep.
Because it helps people who are the poorest people on the planet.
Yep.
Like even the poorest people in New Jersey still have access to health care through
right.
the ER. They
That's
have
right.
access to running water.
That's
they
right.
have access to education.
Exactly.
They have
exactly.
you know,
sanitation,
so it just
yep.
yeah. So it depends on, you know, what your perspective is and just what calls to you. So that's
yes.
what called to me, even though I do local soup kitchens and
yes.
other things. And I just, I love it all. That's why I showcase all of it on the show.
And that's one of the reasons that I enjoy Rotary so much, is because we're both local and global.
Yes.
They have been on the forefront of eradicating polio globally. And I think we're down to two countries now
wow.
that we're almost there. But their efforts are in clean water globally, because there are Rotary clubs all over the world. There are thousands and thousands of clubs that deal with hunger and real poverty and deprivation that we don't see typically in the United States, and lack of running water and sanitation and disease. And many of the Rotary clubs in those countries are at the forefront of trying to help bring resources, bring vaccinations, bring whatever to improve the lives of their people. So each Rotarian helps support the Rotary International Foundation, which funds a lot of these efforts globally. So every Rotarian really is a part of this global effort to help people wherever they are. We're both local and global, which is really something that I truly love about Rotary, is that we can have an impact all over the world, and we do. And in fact, there are opportunities for local clubs in the United States and anywhere to partner up with clubs in Africa, in India, in Europe, wherever they are, to do some of these projects jointly. So there are opportunities. There are thousands of opportunities within Rotary to have an impact wherever you want. And as you said before, somebody that's looking to engage that passion and trying to help people, there's something in Rotary that will help you engage your passion for help and service. So I recommend it. As you know, I'm an advocate for Rotary for sure. But that's one of the reasons. So that global approach I really love.
Yeah, and me too. And I've mentioned on the show before, so my cousin, they had different Rotary Exchange students in their house growing up. And now they've been all over the world because now their kids are in their 20s and now they're going to weddings in Turkey and all over the place because it's their former students.
Yep.
And I love that. I mean, I've met Rotary Exchange students that are now in their 30s and 40s because Rotary is like 100 years old, isn't it, or something?
It started in 1905.
Yeah. So
in Chicago.
Yes. So that's another for people that want their kids to be exposed to Rotary, I mean, consider hosting a Rotary Exchange student, right? It's still active, right?
And there are even Rotary clubs in high schools and colleges. Wow. So Rotaract clubs and Interact clubs can be started locally and you can participate then in service projects. You can do your own service projects. So Rotary, to me, is more than anything else about knitting a community of people that are coming from a helpful mindset, knitting them together with the power of more people in numbers to have a maximum positive impact on whatever we're turning our attention to.
Yeah, and I think that's key because a lot of kids in high school, for their resume, they want to start their own club or start their own. But this is a way to start a club with an umbrella of support.
Absolutely.
So you don't have to recreate the wheel.
Have a lot of assets, resources wherever you need them. You bet.
Do you have any high school kids you advise or college kids that are part of yours, or is it all kind of a separate thing?
Those clubs need to be sponsored by a Rotary club of some kind because they do need the support. In order for them to be called part of Rotary, it has to be pretty official. And I'm not very familiar with the process because we don't have any active right now.
Okay.
But we are seeking that partnership wherever it lay. And we have to find students that are interested and have a passion for this and see if we can make that happen. But, yeah, I think that's an important aspect of Rotary that's really even lesser known than the clubs. Everybody knows, they have breakfast or lunch or dinner.
Yeah.
But it's really more about the service and knitting those communities together of like-minded people that want to help and have an impact.
Yeah, and the other thing, going back to culture, so when I was trying to build up my my confidence when I started speaking about Room to Read, I called all the Rotary clubs in the area to see if they would let me speak because they usually just have a warm body speak. It depends on it. But the fun thing too is that even though they're all Rotarians, every club has its own culture as well.
You betcha.
And like some of them, they had this, like they would sing to me I mean, they all had these little, traditions oh my gosh, it was so fun just meeting all the Rotarians I just had a blast.
And it's interesting to visit other clubs and you've had that experience, and many Rotarians have as well, of looking at other clubs, and they do things a bit differently. There are certainly similarities, but some clubs sing. My club does not, thankfully, because I am not a singer, so I would not appreciate that. But it's whatever the tradition is, and it's wonderful in its diversity, and it's intentionally meant to be diverse as well, which is something else. So there's absolutely no issues with any background or ethnicity or religion. It's just an attempt to bring like-minded people together to service above self.
It's about. I was in Queenstown and there was a service above self plaque or something that I ran across in Queenstown, New Zealand. Yes,
excellent.
It was amazing.
Excellent. Well, the signs are all over the place. Everybody sees the signs. So.
Yes. And I saw one in Sedona, Arizona.
Uh-huh.
There was it's definitely, and you can see the little blue and yellow signs on the highway.
Right.
It'll say we meet whatever, so you got to look for those.
Yes.
Yeah, so Rotary is everywhere. So it's very fun.
But what we're trying to do is we're seeking more diversity. We want younger people and whoever is of that mindset to really help. That's I think the only thing that we're looking for is just who wants to be helpful. Are you interested in having a positive impact in your community as well as on a global basis, then Rotary might be for you.
Yeah, and what are the four things? Are there four questions you ask? Is it true? What is it again?
Is it the truth? Is it fair to all concerned? Will it build goodwill and better friendships? And is it beneficial to all concerned?
Yeah, so that's...
That's the four-way test.
Yes.
And that's at the bedrock. See, that's part of the values of Rotary, is that foundational thought that really informs everything else we do, because Rotarians, rightfully so, are expected to live their lives according to that four-way test as much as possible, because I think it is a good test of something that comes up. Is it something you want to do or take part in?
Right. And are you actively seeking younger members? Because, you know, Rotary and Rotarians might have that stigma because it's 100 years old, it's stodgy, it's stale. It's, I mean, I don't think that, but it's probably hard to get the message out to the youngers.
It's unfortunately the reputation of Rotary that it's mainly
older white men.
Yes, that's right. Unfortunately, people like me. But I'm here to tell you that's really not what it's about. We've put in our past long ago the issue of women joining, which was, you know, something that I guess all organizations that grew up had
totally
to go through those crazy growing pains.
It was a sign of the times.
It's ridiculous, but there you go. So I think it was 1986 or 87. It was pretty recent, believe it or not.
But they allowed women?
Yes.
No.
I think so.
Oh, my word.
I think so.
Oh my God.
I wasn't a member then, for sure, but I think that's what I've heard. But that said, that's in the past. We're really not that club or that organization anymore. We want to be younger, more vibrant, because we're looking for new ideas. We're looking for new ways to be helpful. And a lot of the technological things that people can do, you can't rely on an old guy like me to think that way. So that's really where that next generation would be enormously helpful. And honestly, my club has been successful in recruiting some new members, getting some new leadership, some new ideas, a little bit of new energy. So that's all good. That's all good.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah, we need the young ones to do the social media push, right? Because luckily I have teenagers that help me through
there you
the
go.
Process.
There you
but
go.
Otherwise, I'd be yep. definitely out of water.
But we want to avoid the status quo and that idea that this is just an old white man's club, because it's not. It should not be. It is not. And we need to do a better job of putting that forward. And honestly, the value of what we do.
Yeah.
That's important.
Do you have any tips for people that, let's say, you know, yeah, I want to be a good person, I want to help out, but, you know, what if I'm not really sure what my values are? Like, you know, how do you put that on paper, or how do you begin that conversation with yourself to say what's important to me?
It's difficult to have that conversation with yourself. It's so hard for us to be objective about ourselves. So that's why certainly what I do and a lot of other people do is give people a way of having an objective, independent voice as almost a reflecting surface that they can try different things and experiment with thoughts about what my values are. Begin that conversation with somebody who can help you move that thought process forward in a more or less structured way. I wouldn't say you want to be zigzagging all over the place, but I would say try different things. Try a Rotary Club. Try a Lions Club. Try another service organization. Join and volunteer in a nonprofit and see if that works for you. You can always say, well, this is just not for me, and that's fine. But try some different things. Don't allow the fact that you're a little bit uncertain to stop you from trying things. Be curious and be willing to experiment. And most important, what I said before, allow yourself to be taken out of your comfort zone.
Exactly.
Because that's what it's about. Because the reason you're not trying anything is because you're uncomfortable. So have a little bit of whatever it takes to just say, okay, let me push myself and see if this works. And it's not too painful. Let me try a little bit more.
What's the worst that can happen, right? I mean,
what's the worst that can happen? You don't like it. You say, this is not for me. And everybody's fine with it.
But everybody's afraid to say no, right?
Yes.
Yes.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Oh,
then
yes.
The guilt sets in.
Particularly small business owners, because you don't want to say no. And that's right. And sometimes the right answer is no.
Yeah. And so I always just tell people, just get off the couch. Just do something. Just get out there. And because it's addictive. Like, yeah. I'm like 1 hour a month. That's all. Mm. I was like 1 hour and then, you know, see where it goes. So that's not even that hard to commit to, right?
Just try it. Because if there's a seed in your mind of doubt about what this is or what I should be doing, then there's something inside of you that's trying to tell you, just try something. Just do it.
Listen to your gut.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Your gut's usually right, I found.
Yeah, and especially as we're getting close to the new year and the new calendar and a fresh start. And as I was saying, if you're looking for a shift in 2020, find
now's the time.
Yeah, now's the time. And then, you know, and The other thing I was thinking about is, talking about networking, and I've read a couple books, and what they say is, you know, you've got your immediate network of your friends, your colleagues, your neighbors, your people at church, whatever.
Right.
But they're saying, like, the real kind of like surprising but invigorating connections come from that next level,
yep.
like their networks. And so you've got to go through them to find that. And
yes.
then that's where the amazing connections occur, right?
Isn't that interesting? Yes, I agree with you. And if most businesses, the analogy I like is dropping a pebble in a pond. And it ripples all the way out, and it keeps going and going and going. So, yes, the people you know are fine. It's really the people that they know, both from a business point of view but also from a service point of view, because it's about making those connections. And the more people you have the potential to see and meet and connect with, the more your chances are you really find something that lands right in your sweet spot and is about your passion. And you're really engaged with it, because that's such a good feeling, as you know. It's so awesome when you really find something you can get jazzed about. You just can't wait to get there and really have an impact. But yes, I couldn't agree with you more, because it's not the people you know, it's the people they know.
Exactly.
And instead of the 500 people we know, 400, 5,000, whatever, it's how many do they know? It's tens of thousands of people that are potentially connected to you in some way, not to say you'll meet all of them or connect with all of them, but there's a possibility there. So use those relationships. That's why they're there.
Yes, and I love how on LinkedIn, because it'll tell you first, second, third. Like, I mean, that's pretty
right.
cool, because I'm
that's
like,
right.
oh, you know, I didn't know they knew them. That's you know right. that? I love that. We have it automated now. So,
well, the genius of LinkedIn is
yes.
to harness that ripple effect. That's yes. exactly what they're putting forward. That's right.
Yeah, so I definitely stalk people on LinkedIn. But it is so. I love saying, I'm like, oh, my gosh, how do they know each other?
Yep.
Like, you know, because this one woman I know through LinkedIn, I found out she knew. She worked with a guy that I was friends with in my 20s in New York. Like,
oh.
yeah, I mean, and their worlds are eons apart. So
yep.
I was like, oh, my
yep.
gosh, that's crazy.
Isn't that 6 degrees of separation?
Yeah,
deal?
It's totally yeah. true. But there's just example after example of that. And
yes.
so you just have to pay attention.
Yes. Well, that's
and
right.
harness it.
And think it's valuable. Because if you shy away from it for whatever reason, because you're afraid or whatever, there's something there that's getting in your way. Examine that. Be willing to, because that's really the discomfort, is being willing to examine why you don't think that's valuable. You know, everything else tells you it is, and people tell you, but you don't believe them. That means somewhere you don't believe. Get at that. Begin to examine that. If you need help examining that, that's also fine. But that's really where the issue is. That's the crux of it. Because you know intellectually, the problem is you don't feel it.
Yep, you're stuck.
You're stuck, right.
Yep, no, that's true. Yeah, and so what do you tell people? Because I don't know if you're outside the norm, but were you at heart an introvert accountant and were terrified of networking, or are you just naturally a people person?
I guess I would consider myself an introvert, although I've been told I'm not. I feel like I
you're
am.
You're Italian. You can talk.
I feel like I'm an introvert, but one of the most difficult adjustments I had as I made the transition from being an employee to a business owner was being the outside person, because I was always the inside person. So now I had to care about things like selling and marketing myself and being able to put forth my value without embarrassment or with full belief and confidence that I could deliver on what I said. So that takes a transition, because you're not trained that way. Particularly accountants are certainly not trained that way. Our value is to know the details. And with what I do now, it's about attitude and mindset, and it's a very different kind of thing. So I had to adjust to being able to express that value fairly succinctly.
Yeah, and I think we talked about the value of LinkedIn and social media and all that, but I still think a huge part of the value of getting yourself out there, getting business, working your business, is the person-to-person interaction, and you have to attend
yep.
events to get that.
Yep.
You can't get that virtually.
Yep. And isn't that great practice, by the way?
Yes.
As you do it, you get more and more comfortable. You get to know more and more people, so it feels like it's just easier and more natural, but you have to be willing to take those first few baby steps to get you to that point. You can't jump from 0 to 100. You have to go step by step by step.
Well, that's why I thought it'd be great if you identify your networking buddy, right? You know, mm-hmm. partner an introvert and
yes.
an extrovert, and then they're the ones that they can break the ice for you, because it's natural to them. And
yep.
then you take baby steps and you get there, right?
Right. It's called a wingman.
Okay, exactly. Or a wingwoman.
Wingwoman, exactly.
All right, well, we're going to take a quick break and we'll be back.
Oh, folks, you know what that music is. That's the time for modern design.
This blue thing is a really new trend. A lot of the designers are trying to introduce blue as a new cabinet color.
This is topical for you guys. This is really topical.
And the mother said, well, I'd like her room to be gray. And the little girl said, Mom, gray is the color of depression.
Hi, this is Rich Scuderi of Modern Design. We're on live every Wednesday from 2 to 3, and you're listening on WHCR-DB.
The traffic is stuck.
Max Living, brought to you by the Max Challenge of Clinton, New Jersey. Join me, your host, Mark LaRose, every Wednesday at 1 p.m. right here on Hunterdon Chamber Radio. I'll be discussing important health and fitness subjects, featuring guests and success stories. We are here to help motivate you. It's a beautiful day.
When it matters most, our award-winning team of emergency physicians and nurses provides sophisticated care 24 hours a day. Superior emergency care at a moment's notice. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care.
Everybody over there!
Get on up!
Everybody out there!
Get into it!
Everybody right there!
Get involved!
Everybody, you!
Did you know? The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce has over 20 active committees that you can participate in. Committees range from focus on business and government to economic development to events like our annual business expo. Contact the Chamber for more information today at 908-782-7115 or email us at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Good morning. This is Nicole Smith. You're listening to Happy to Help on Hunterdon Chamber Radio. You can find us on Facebook at Happy to Help, at Happy Hunterdon, Happy to Help. And we're talking today with Sal Levitino. He is the founder owner of SL Business Solutions, and he is a Rotarian, and we're talking about values, and we're going to go deep. So
we're going to dig very deep.
Yeah, so tell us about, again, why service is such a huge value of yours and why you do what you do and how you incorporate it.
And I think for me personally, the service end of what I do as a Rotarian and in other areas is valuable to me because I feel like I'm being my true self. I come from a space of caring and giving. And this allows me to engage that passion and express it as fully as I possibly can with the happy result of actually having helped somebody or a bunch of people to eat another day or to have shelter or to have whatever they need to have to survive. And that's really what it's about for me. And so I recommend to people, if that's something that even a little bit kind of resonates, explore some things. Talk to people in different organizations with different perspectives, and you might stumble on something that really, really hits home. And so many people have done that. So they go to a presentation or a talk by a particular nonprofit or another kind of organization, and it just resonates with you. That's a great first step. Now the next step is also important. Follow up. Try to have a talk to somebody who's in the organization with a little bit more knowledge to see if it really is for you. And that's really many times where people simply don't have the time to do that. Is follow up. That's such a critical step that most people forget about.
Yeah, well, I always say you take time for what you make time for.
That's right.
So if it's important to you, you'll make time for it. There's always a way to do that.
And one of the things that I help my clients understand is, where are they making those choices right now in their business? Where are they spending their time? Is it supporting their goals, moving themselves forward, or is it going in a circle at 600 miles an hour? Is really the question. So it helps to have somebody who is, as we said before, independent, objective, who has absolutely no stake in any of the decisions they've made except their success. So I don't have any emotional baggage about any of this stuff, so I can be much more objective about it. And isn't that always the case? We can solve everybody else's problems. It's our own that are the most difficult to solve because they're the most difficult to see.
Well, yeah, and it hits home, right? It's, you
That's
know,
right.
yeah. Well, so how would people go about finding that person? So yeah, maybe you have a family member, maybe you have a colleague, maybe you hire a therapist, or maybe, like, you know, what are the resources where people could say, hey, I know I need to take a look at my life, and I know I need to reassess my values and figure out where I want to go. How do they begin?
Well, that's a great point, because you have to be emotionally honest enough to say that to somebody else. And sometimes that is even difficult. Admitting that you need help for some reason makes it very difficult for us to achieve what we need to achieve, because everybody needs help. Nobody gets to where they are right now without parents and teachers and mentors and clergy and whoever else you had in your lives. So why is it all of a sudden we become adults and now we don't need any of that support anymore? It's kind of ridiculous when you think about it. And particularly when you start a business, well, I'm an entrepreneur now. I don't need anybody else. Now is when you really need everybody else. So my advice is, as you have conversations, be honest about what's going on in your life. And some will say, you know what, I know somebody who can help you here, or I've used somebody over here, or I've heard of somebody who has dealt with these kinds of issues. Would you mind if I make an introduction? And that's all it takes. That's the first step. Second step, as always, follow up, respond. If somebody connects you with somebody who they're trying to be helpful for you, they lend a resource that they know about, have the courtesy to follow up and have the courage to follow up, because it just might change your life.
Very deep.
No, I told you we were going to dig deep.
But it's true. And we also talked about you need to get out there and network, go to some of these networking groups. But the other piece of that for follow-up is, in the ones I go to, they encourage people, say, hey, you know, we've had a great group effort here, but now identify one or two people to follow up with and do a one-on-one. Like,
sure.
Have coffee, have a conversation, whatever, and you never know where that'll lead you.
That's right.
Yeah.
Exactly. That's why we do it, and that's why we network, and that's why networking can be so powerful, because you never really know. And I don't like to leave a lot of things to chance in a business, so I suggest a more purposeful approach, but at least go in knowing what you're trying to accomplish and be emotionally and intellectually honest, and you never know what's going to happen. You might be introduced to the person that's really going to make a huge difference in your life, or even as important, you might meet somebody who you can refer to somebody else who will help change their lives. So it's extending that metaphor of the ripple in the pond to, not only will you be receiving benefit, you can also potentially help other people. And how cool would that be?
Yes, amazing. And I think that touches on another friend of mine that does networking and business. And you can't make networking transactional, because if it's just transactional, you're going to give nothing, you're going to get nothing. So the attitude is important, right, going into it?
In my view, it is. I don't believe in this transactional idea. Nobody goes to a chamber event, for example, to buy anything. And a lot of people go there trying to sell things, and nobody's there to buy anything. So that's not – to me, that's wrong-headed. You're there to develop relationships. Mm-hmm. If you're not trying to develop relationships, just go to a speed networking thing. And you meet people for a minute. You move on. That'll be great. You'll get a handful of cards, and so what?
Yeah, and the Princeton Chamber is tremendously helpful, and they merged with the Mercer Chamber, and now it's a ginormous chamber, and then we've got the Hunterdon Chamber, yep. And then there's the Gateway Chamber, so yep. there's a chamber where in the Somerset County Business
yep.
Partnership.
There's resources, for
yeah,
sure.
Yeah, and the chamber, and it can be, if you want to join, it can be expensive for a company or a nonprofit, but you can go ad hoc to these and just pay as you go and try things out and see if it's worth your time and effort, but it usually
and
is.
And give it a try,
yeah.
but and again, even some of my clients, they do a lot of networking. I always, of course, recommend a purposeful approach. So you both know what you're trying to accomplish going in, and you're also absolutely going to follow up
yes.
with people you want to follow up with and make sure that you build those relationships, because relationships don't just happen, do they? They have to be intentional. So, and you also want to be able to date people that before you marry them in business. So you got to get to know them a little bit. So a purposeful, structured approach is always going to enhance any effort, particularly in a small business. And that includes all the squishy stuff like networking.
I know why, because I remember when networking was like a dirty word. It was like used car salesman networking, but it's transitioned. But I don't know what caused the shift. If it was because of the new work environment or I don't know. Do you have an opinion about that?
I think maybe it was because people started to see that the transactional approach doesn't work anymore. I'll liken that to the hard sell. That still exists. It still works to a certain level, but more and more people have other resources that they simply don't respond to the hard sell. So what's left is to try and take a longer-term approach, perhaps an approach from a giving point of view, and be willing to develop networks and networking and relationships, both for your benefit but potentially for other people's benefit. Because a lot of the value that I provide to my clients as well is to be well enough connected so that they need an attorney or an accountant or whoever. I probably have three or four of each ready to go that will respond to me and respond to them and give them good service. So how valuable is that?
Perfect. And I always say my superpower is connecting people because I love it.
There you go.
But the other thing that people need to be conscious of is expectation, yeah. Right? You can't go in with the – my one friend said to me, she's like, everything always works out for you because you set your expectations so low. I'm like, well, what's wrong with that? That I'm always happy. Like, but anyway, but other people set these huge expectations and, oh, I didn't land a $5 million deal, then networking's not for me. You know what I mean? You know, so that's right. Huge, right?
And you need to calibrate that to the correct objective. But maybe the $5 million deal would have happened not out of that meeting, but out of the two subsequent meetings you were supposed to have with the decision makers that if you took a purposeful approach, had more likelihood of happening. So you're right. You're not going to sell anything at the chamber. That's not why you're there. So don't try. If you try, you're going to kill any future relationship because people are just going to walk away from you and say, what is that person doing?
Right, and I always find it's interesting because if you're talking to someone and you're just chatting and you find out you both played hockey in high school, mm-hmm. or you know there's usually a connection that comes up if you spend enough time talking to someone. You know, yeah. There's some kind of connection between hobby or your college or an interest. I mean, it really is amazing how much we have in common.
And isn't it true? I've heard we've all heard this many, many times that what people will remember is how you made them feel.
Yes.
And if you make them feel as if you were actually listening to them and were trying to help, then that's a much better feeling to come away with than somebody who just handed you a business card and walked away, because what you're going to do with that card, I think we all know what you're going to do with that card when you get back to your office. But somebody that you actually had a reasonable conversation, not 20 minutes, 5 minutes, couple of connections. Well, you know what? Let's have some coffee. Let's figure out a time. Let's take out our phones and let's see if we can further this conversation and see where it goes. At least admit that possibility. I think that's really maybe the message, is just allow it to happen. If you don't think it can happen, you're right.
Exactly right.
And if you do think it can happen, you're also right.
Exactly. So, belief is huge, and you mentioned that. So how can people find you as we wrap up? Like, give them your website and stuff like that.
My website is slbizsolutions.com. I'm also on LinkedIn for sure, and I'm on Facebook. And I even have a Twitter account. Oh, my God. An old guy like me having a Twitter account. Can you imagine?
Wow, you're hip.
I'm in a lot of different places. I also I'm a member of, as you said, the Princeton Mercer Chamber, for sure, and Rotary, of course, which is what this whole thing started from. So you can find me pretty much. If you Google Sal Levitino, I'd like to think you'll be able to find me pretty easily. I'd love to have a conversation about anything you heard today, or if you just have something nudging at you a little bit, well, how would you handle this? I'm happy to have that conversation.
Yeah, that's always huge, is having a real world example or problem that you just need fresh eyes on, right?
Absolutely.
A fresh objective.
Absolutely. And we all do that. And I do that. I need that too.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's SL, is Biz, B-I-S or B-U-S?
B-I-Z.
Yeah, B-I-Z. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. SL, Biz, B-I-Z, Solutions.
.com.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And
LinkedIn is, as you found me on LinkedIn.
Yes, as I stalked
sure,
you on LinkedIn.
It's all there.
So connect with Sal, connect with me, Nicole Smith, and that's we talked about happy to help. That's what this whole show is about, is helping you in your personal life, helping you to learn to help others, and helping you in business as well. Mm-hmm. And because we both know that whatever you give to others comes back tenfold or a hundredfold or a thousandfold. Like, we're, you know, it starts out as, hey, I'm going to help this person, but you're really the one that gets the help.
Absolutely.
So that's
absolutely.
That's
where it's at.
It's crazy how that works.
Yep.
Right? Yes. All right. Well, thank you so much for being here. And
thank you.
Say hi to the Rotary folks.
I will. Thank you.
When friends are not enough and you are struggling with depression, anxiety, or addictions, it's time to seek out help. Mental health is one of the most important building blocks to a healthy life. Tune into Counselor's Chat every Wednesday at noon and listen to many topics that pertain to good mental health. With Ruth Altamura Roll, a licensed professional counselor, as your host, you will learn about many facets of good mental health. Let's remove the stigma. Go to www.altarollcounselor.net for more information about my practice. And please follow me on Counselor's Chat on Facebook. Remember, Counselor's Chat every Wednesday at noon. I wish you good mental health.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
New developments in the investigation of yesterday's fatal shootings in Jersey City, New Jersey, which happened at a kosher grocery store. Mayor Stephen Fulop says on one hand,
we do feel comfortable that it was a targeted attack on the Jewish kosher deli across the street here.
However, investigators are still not ready to say it was motivated by anti-Semitism. Three innocent civilians, a veteran Jersey City detective, and the two suspects were all killed. A lockdown that was imposed at Naval Air Station Corpus Christi earlier this morning has been lifted. Details of what led to the lockdown not yet released, but the base's Twitter feed sent a message saying it was not a drill and did order personnel to shelter in place. There are also reports that at least one suspect is in custody in connection with whatever happened. This is USA Radio News.
Haul packages for a living? A gas-powered Mercedes-Benz Sprinter delivers. Transport people? A Sprinter van with 0% financing is a five-star idea. If food delivery is your thing, then a gas Sprinter caters to you. And if you're a general contractor, the Sprinter with 0% financing nails it. With innovation, safety, and technology, Sprinter is built for you. And it's built for your bottom line with 0% financing. The Mercedes-Benz Sprinter, starting at just $33,790. And for a limited time with IRS Section 179, you could be eligible for up to a $25,000 tax deduction. Gas engine, 0% financing, and a possible tax deduction? Now that's a Sprinter that delivers. Mercedes-Benz. Vans. Born to run.
MSRP excludes all options, taxes, title, registration, transportation, charge, and dealer prep fee. Options, model availability, national dealer price may vary. See dealer for details about costs and terms. Only valid on 2018 or 2019 Mercedes-Benz Sprinter vans excluding cab chassis. Qualified commercial customers only. Financing offer valid through January 2nd, 2020. Consult your tax advisor. For more information, limits may apply. Visit mbvans.com.
16-year-old Swedish climate activist Greta Thunberg named this morning as Time Magazine's Person of the Year. She has followed that announcement by speaking today at a climate summit in Madrid, accusing wealthy nations of inventing ways to avoid slashing greenhouse gas emissions. Hours after Democrats in the U.S. House filed two articles of impeachment against him, the president calls the charges flimsy, pathetic, and ridiculous. He speaks at a rally held in Hershey, Pennsylvania.
They send these two things, they're not even a crime. This is the lightest, weakest impeachment.
The House Judiciary Committee will begin consideration of those two articles of impeachment against the president at a meeting this evening. One of them alleges abuse of power, the other obstruction of Congress in the Ukraine scandal. The full House expected to debate and vote on Trump's impeachment next week. And this is USA Radio News.
Friends and family, I've told you about the great sleep I get with my MyPillow every night. Well, right now you can get a great deal and extra safety because if you go to MyPillow.com, click on the radio listener special, get their buy one, get one free offer on the MyPillow premium pillow. Your 60-day money-back guarantee goes all the way through March 1st, 2020. That's now through December 25th. When you go to MyPillow.com, click on the radio listener special and use my promo code USA.
A surge in refinances prompting a rise in mortgage applications. They rose 3.8% last week. Refis were up 9% while applications for loans to buy homes fell 0.4%. President Trump will sign an executive order today aimed at fighting anti-Semitism on college campuses. The order will interpret Judaism as a nationality and not just a religion. A White House official says the order, first reported by the New York Times, will allow the Trump administration to do more to combat anti-Israeli sentiments and divestment movements on campuses. It would require colleges and universities to treat those attitudes and movements as discriminatory, or they could lose federal funding. And guess who's going on tour?
Hi! While the cartoon was playing, I took an ordinary potato like this and stuck some pencils in it. And I made an animal that looks like this.
Actor Paul Reubens, the man behind Pee-wee Herman, is planning to celebrate the 35th anniversary of his movie Pee-wee's Big Adventure by taking it on tour. He'll stop in 20 cities to show the film, and then he'll tell stories from behind the scenes. Remember, you can always find us online anytime. We're at usaradio.com. For USA Radio News, I'm Chris Barnes.
When friends are not enough and you are struggling with depression, anxiety, or addictions, it's time to seek out help. Mental health is one of the most important building blocks to a healthy life. Tune into Counselor's Chat every Wednesday at noon and listen to many topics that pertain to good mental health. With Ruth Altamura Roll, a licensed professional counselor, as your host, you will learn about many facets of good mental health. Let's remove the stigma. Go to www.altarolcounselor.net.